Good morning. Good morning. Today, Lord willing, I'll finish up the broad and the narrow road. It feels like it's just started this. I could probably go back. I don't know if the messages are dated online at Caswell. I could check. But it's pretty close to a year that I've been going through these and working through these. And so I was like, I'm going to put the two P's today, which is pride and power, together to hopefully get through this, and then next time Neil asks me to speak, I will have no idea what I'm speaking on. So Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, that's what we've been looking at. I know Miss Patty's here, and she hasn't been here for the other messages, but enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leadeth to destruction, and there be many that enter through it. For the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few that find it. So we've been looking at the narrow road and the broad road. We've been looking at different perspectives on it, as far as how we should travel on the narrow road. And then also we've been looking at all these P's to look at ways that the world has to offer to try to distract those that are unsaved and keep them on the broad road. We looked at prosperity, pleasure, popularity, philosophy, pride, and power. So we looked at it as a six-lane highway, so to speak, and all these lanes, just like on a highway when you're driving, you can merge. They're very much intertwined with each other, these different things that the world has to offer. And we'll see that today with some of the points that I bring out will be points that I've already brought out from previous P's that we have went over. Let me scroll down. I didn't have time to print off my notes. I usually like to do it on a hard copy, but I wasn't finished with my notes on Friday. And I don't have a printer at home, and Friday was a crazy day because we found out that our principal was changing, taking effect Monday. So it was a wild day, and I guess I appreciate prayers for that, because who knows how I'll get along with this new lady. I heard that she's stricter on the staff, but we'll see. If you'll turn with me to Exodus 33, and that's where we will start this morning. As I already read, Matthew chapter 7, the topic is the broad and the narrow road. Today we'll start in Exodus chapter 33. I'll read 18 through 23. So starting in verse 18, then Moses said, I pray you show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, nor no man can see me alive. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And when it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand and away. I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another Lord's Day to remember your Son in the Lord's Supper as we did this morning. We just pray that your Spirit would go before us, Father, that you would help me to speak clearly, Lord, and to speak what you've laid on my heart, and pray that if I say anything, Father, that's not from you or not of you, that you would just erase it from their minds. It'd be as if I didn't say it. Father, we pray that they would... these people sitting here today, Lord, they would glean something from this message. Father, there would be something that they can apply to their lives or take with them to share with someone that they know that is unsaved on the broad road. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. So the first P that I'm going to start with is power. And I think in Exodus 33, this is just an amazing example of the Lord's power, because He was able to see just the backside of the Lord. He said, but my face shall not be seen. And to me, I just think about the power of the Lord that Moses couldn't even see, couldn't even take in that glory. And so to me, that's an example of power. And so the Lord would let him catch a glimpse, so to speak, but not his full glory. And we see the ultimate power in our Lord Jesus Christ coming to die on the cross for our sins. And there's power in the blood. Jason always usually asks me before I speak, what songs do I want? I usually don't have any. It doesn't really matter. But I feel like these two songs really went well with these two, with my message with these two points, because I was speaking on power and pride. And so in the song that we just sang briefly, just to make mention of it, there is power in the blood. And in verse 2, would you be free from your passion and pride? Right? And so I thought those went really well with my message. And then also I'll make note of the other song when I speak on pride. So I wanted to start there just to give us a little bit, and we've all heard this before, but just to really take a minute to think about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, as we look at this in the light of the broad road versus the narrow road, we're, I trust everyone in here is on the narrow road. If you're not, there's still time. However, the world will look at power as, you know, raising yourself up. How can I be, in a position of power? What can I do to be more powerful? How can I have control over everything that I'm doing? Whereas really, our power comes from the Lord, and ultimately from the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But the world doesn't see that, and the world wouldn't understand these verses that I just read to understand the full power of our Savior and of God. So the couple of verses that I have on power that you don't have to turn to, Philippians 4, verse 13, and I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weakness, in insults, and in distress, in persecution, and difficulties, in behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And those are all verses as believers that we can lay hold to and remember as we go through different trials, and remember those on the narrow road. But again, power to the world is oftentimes, you know, how can I get more money so that I can be in a higher position of power? How can I work my way up my company or whatever it might be to gain more power? And like I said, these P's are not interchangeable, but just like a highway, you can go from point to point. So if you'll turn to Mark chapter 15, and I'll start in verse 8 and read down to verse 15. Mark 15, starting in verse 8. The crowd went up to Him, asking Him to do as He had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? For he was aware that the chief priests had handed Him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Answering again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him who you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." But Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." Verse 15, wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged and handed him over to be crucified. And so I know I read this. I was looking back in my notes. I read Mark chapter 15. I read these verses when I was going over popularity. And again, I also made mention, history shows us that within 2 years, the political tide had turned against Pilate and he had to go into exile. And this just goes to show that popularity will not last forever and power will not last forever. And I had in here popularity because that was, I had copied and pasted it from my notes from above, but it's popularity or power. And he let's see, I want to read the word that exactly it said, but he was willing to contempt the people, and so he released Barabbas to them and kept Jesus and then ended up having him crucified. And that's a perfect example to me of not only, as I mentioned, popularity, but of power. He was willing to do whatever it took, even giving up the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep his power, or so he thought. And like I said, history will show us that within 2 years he had to go into exile. But oftentimes on the broad road, they'll do whatever it takes to keep power, to maintain power, to gain power. You can go all through history. I know Jacob is a big history guy. Go all through history and look at the rising and fallings of empires and kings and things like that. And it's all about power. And we're thankful that this happened for Scripture, that the Scripture would be fulfilled and that our Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified for us, because then we have a way to get to heaven. But in the moment, it doesn't seem like that would be the right thing to do, but it was, and it was all part of the Lord's perfect plan. And again, that shows the Lord's power, and that the Lord's ways are greater than ours. And oftentimes, looking at it from the narrow road, we might not understand what's going on in our situation, but we have to just trust in the Lord. He's in control, and he has the final say, and he has the power. And so, that's what I have on power. I feel like there's a lot more that could be said about it, for sure. But for now, we're going to transition into pride. And so if you guys will turn with me to Acts chapter 9, and we'll start looking into pride. Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to read 1 through 18. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belongings to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and through eyes were open, he could see nothing, and leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now the disciples at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Get up, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man named Tarsus, named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight and got up and was baptized. And so again here we see the power of the Lord appearing to Saul on the road. I see in Ananias, I almost feel like it's pride. He wanted his first response in verse 13 was, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And oftentimes our pride might get in the way from trying to witness to someone on the broad road. And we see this in verse 13 because his response is not a positive one. It's not one of, yes, Lord, I will go do this immediately. It's of fear. And a lot of times we know there is persecution coming. And a lot of times it might be because of fear or because we think we're too busy or whatever it might be in our lives. But ultimately it comes down to pride. And our pride, oftentimes, speaking in my life, will allow me to keep doing what I'm doing as opposed to stop and taking a moment to share the gospel with whoever that I'm might should have shared the gospel with, whether it be in my day-to-day life or just at school or at the grocery store or wherever. A lot of times we just pass people and we might say hello. You know, here in the South, we might, you know, say, how are you doing? Good. And keep it pushing. But we don't oftentimes stop to actually have conversations with those people. And so I will make mention of, I chose 452 at Calvary because it's saying in that first verse of years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died. And I think about how often we come into contact with people that we might not share the gospel with, and they might not know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them, just as this hymn said, in years of in vanity and pride. A quick definition of, and I forgot to read the definition for power. I just did a quick Google search and just to get a definition. But the quick definition of pride: a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Right? We might have school pride. We might have pride in the Steelers, or we might have pride in whatever it is. And it doesn't mean that those are wrong things, but we shouldn't have pride in and of ourselves. We should all the glory should go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then definition of vanity. From this hymn, I saw that, and so I looked it up, and it's excessive pride or an admiration of one's own appearance or achievements. Vanity refers primarily to the Hebrew word hevel, I think I'm saying that right, meaning vapor, breath, or smoke, to describe the fleeting and futile and meaningless nature of worldly pursuit. I'll just read that again. I don't really know how to elaborate on that, but refers primarily to the Hebrew word havel, meaning vapor, breath, or smoke, which we know our life is like a vapor. It's here one day, gone the next. I mean, you ask any older person, not that we have any older people in this room, but ask them how quickly their life has gone, and they would say, you know, really, really quickly. And then also to continue on to describe the fleeting, futile and meaningless nature of worldly pursuit. And so we see that with all of these P's that I've gone through. But with pride, it's a worldly pursuit. And we see that when we have, when our world puts on Pride Month for homosexuality, which I spoke on, and one of the other P's for pleasure, I spoke on that. And they all, again, intersect with each other. And the world wants to put number one first. And that's wrong, because we need to take the humble route and put others first and share the gospel with others. A couple of verses that I pulled out just to read to you guys as well, like I did with power. So Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. James 4, 6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Obadiah 1, verses 3 and 4, the vision of Obadiah, this is what the Lord God says concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a message and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, let's go up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. The one who lives in the cleft of the rock, on the height of his dwelling place, who says in his heart, who will bring me down to earth? Though you make your home high like the eagle, though you set your nests among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. 1 John 2:16. Do not love the world. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. And so those are some verses to hopefully encourage you guys, and the broad road still has many traveling on it. There'll be many people that stand before the Lord and will say, I did this in your name and all these things. And he'll say, go away from me. I knew you not. And then verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7 focuses on, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, shall enter my kingdom. We walk down the street, or really anywhere, and ask if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, at least in the South, and a lot of people will say, yes, of course, but their pride, along with these other lanes, will truly not allow them or let them repent. A lot of times, too, I notice in my own family, if you ask, just a quick story. I lived with my grandmother in college, and my sister also lived with my grandmother in college for several years. And, she's got a lot of people that live in her house, too. Also, Cesar was another guy that lived in her house, and I think she's got somebody else living in her house now. It's just, she's opened up her home for a lot of people. But it was me at the time, it was me and my sister, and a young man named Cesar, who's a very godly man in fellowship in Randleman Bible Chapel. But he one time asked my sister, you know, are you a believer? Are you saved? And she was very offended by that. And she was like, of course I'm saved. Why would you even ask me that? I mean, and so that's a very personal story of my family where it actually happened. Somebody asked, and she actually came in my room and was very, you know, offended. How dare he ask her if she was truly saved? Well, and this is what I told her. I said, Lane, you never go to church. You're not very kind. You, like, all these things. I just went on down the list. And I was like, what in your life shows fruit that you care anything about the Lord? Well, she didn't like that response either. And so, but truly it is a lot of times in my family, it's like, how dare you even ask if I'm saved? And that is pride of the heart too, because she grew up in a Christian home just the same as me. And so she, I guess, in her mind, thinks that she's saved. That's between her and the Lord. I truly don't know if my sister is saved or not. I hope and pray that she is, but that's between her and the Lord. But that there's so many, I'm sure there's members in your family that are the same way. If you ask them spiritual things or things of the Lord, they'll maybe give you that same response. Maybe they don't. Maybe they give you the opposite response, which is the response of the world, which is, I don't want anything to do with that. Don't talk to me about that. I don't believe in a God at all, or I don't believe, I don't want to talk about that at all. That's oftentimes what we'll get from people on the broad road as well. So it is our job to share the gospel and to win souls to Christ, and not just take that answer and move on. Many people say the right thing, and it's far too often just to get you off their back. And like I said, I see that in my family often. Do we ever not share the gospel, going back to, again, pride in our own lives? Because just because these, I'm talking about the broad road, these things that easily distract non-believers can also be areas in our lives that we need to grow, that, not saying we're traveling on the broad road, but still things of the world that might not inherently be wrong, but still distracting us. Do we ever not share the gospel because you feel like you are better to them, better than someone? Why do we not look at people through the lens of eternity? This is a question that I asked myself just the other night. We often do not look at them as a soul that needs to be saved, instead looking at it as an unsafe situation or unsafe person, and we just keep it pushing. We were at Aldi's just the other night, and there was, you know, a man outside of Aldi's who was, I think he was on some sort of drugs. He was acting very strange. And so we just got our groceries in the car and got on out of there as fast as we could. But then I was driving home and I was thinking about it, and I didn't share this with, we didn't talk about this or anything, but with Liesl. But I mean, that person is a soul that needs to be saved. And maybe he was on some sort of drugs, and maybe it was an unsafe situation. Could have been potentially. But again, that goes back to, you know, if you will receive persecution for being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in America, we don't really hardly ever see or face any persecution because of our faith. And maybe, speaking about my life, maybe we don't have any pushback or any persecution because we just want to stay in the comfort of our bubble. And we don't want to be uncomfortable and go have a conversation with somebody because we don't see it as a safe situation. Again, not saying you should put yourself or others into a unsafe situation, especially if you have young children, because you should be protecting your wife and your family also. But a lot of times we don't look at people through the lens of eternity, that they are a person and a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. And again, these are all things that I've been challenging myself with as I've been preparing for this message, because this whole message, the whole point was to hopefully get us fired up to go out there and share the gospel with more people. I'll be the first one to tell you that I have a great opportunity within the school system, and oftentimes I don't share nearly as much as I should within the school system with the kids there. but to wrap up the whole six-lane highway, the broad road versus the narrow road, just like any road, toll road that you get on, the toll booth, you either pay when you get on the road or you pay when you get off the road. And so you have a choice. As a believer, you got on the toll road, but not by anything that you did. You were able to get on the narrow road through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His work of salvation. And so does that mean that we should just coast on the narrow road without trying to share the gospel with others? No. And then if you are on the narrow road, there will be a toll booth at the end of this life, because like I said, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And so you're either going to pay before, like, or when you get on the road, or after. And basically, again, like I said, we oftentimes sit in our own like little bubble and don't want to face any adversity, because that's not in our human nature to want to deal with adversity. But again, we know that there will be persecution, and I've been challenging myself with, well, am I having any sort of troubles now trying to share the gospel versus just trying to stay in my comfort zone? Ultimately, we need to travel boldly for Christ on the narrow road, not let these things that keep others on the broad road to keep us complacent from winning souls to Christ. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, right? And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow that I command you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We must first recognize each of these things that ensnare the unsaved, and be sure to guard our hearts and our minds from these things, so that we are continually ready to share the gospel. And as 1 Corinthians 10:12, take heed lest we fall. And I told my wife I wouldn't say this at the very end of my message, but the little Marvel movie, Spider-Man, right? With great power comes a great responsibility. And this message was on pride and power. And truly, we do have a great responsibility. And we do have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And so we do have that call on us. As I just read the Great Commission, Matthew 28, we do need to go out and share the gospel with others. And again, if this message doesn't resonate with any of you guys, that's fine, because it's really for myself. This has really been something that's been on my heart and on my mind recently, that I haven't been as outspoken for Christ as I should be, whether it be at the Coliseum or at school in different places like that. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came down to this earth, Father, to die on the cross. Truly there is power in the blood, Father, from your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for His body broken and His blood shed, Father, for us, Father. Truly, without that, there would be no remission of sins. We thank you for this time that we had to remember your Son again this morning. We pray that, again, that this message that I just spoke this morning, Lord, that if there was anything that I said that was not meant to be said, that was not of you, Father, that you would just erase it from their minds. Father, I pray that you would use this message, Father, to use it in my life, Father, to allow me to travel boldly on the narrow road and to share the gospel with people that I come in contact with. We just thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His name that we pray. Amen.